So welcome to the space speed session for South by Southwest. We're gonna so space speed is a high altitude
project. It was made by four friends. We're from Portugal. So first, let me apologize for the weak English, but we'll try to do our best. So we've started launching high altitude balloons like 2 years ago. Something like that. At the time, high-altitude balloons weren't so popular as today. Today you can see one of these projects every week. They're sending iPads and all sorts of things to the space. But back then, like two and a half years ago, it wasn't so popular, so we had to do a lot of research to do our first flight. We've done six flights so far, and this will be a story told by me and Afonso, one of the team members, explaining the problems that we had, the pitfalls, and also giving you some advice in case you're thinking about launching a balloon yourself. So starting off, this is the team. This is me. I don't do nothing except having good ideas and knowing a lot of talented people and get them to work together. This is Afonso, who's here with me today, presenting this session. Afonso is a rock star in do-it-yourself and materials, and he's done everything that has to do with the physical aspects of the project. Philippe Varela couldn't join us at South by Southwest. He's the GPS, Arduino, mathematician, and Xcode guru in the team. And Philippe Valpreira, who's also with us at the audience, he will join us at the end for Q&A. Philippe Valpreira rocks at physical computing and electronics. He was responsible for doing most of the electronics for the project. So starting with our motivation, it all started when we saw this Spanish project called Meteotech 2008. At the time, as I said, there weren't many YouTube videos with similar projects on the web. But this was a really great project because it was an academic project. It was done in a university in Spain. And because it was academic, they really produced a very good PDF document with all the steps that they took to launch the balloon. And it was a really great start for that. So the moment we saw this, we got completely obsessed with the idea of launching a similar project in Portugal. So the first thing we've done, we started digging for more projects on the web. And eventually we could find three projects. We set up a bunch of collaborative tools to work together because we're from different cities in Portugal. So we did a lot of the work using Skype, email, mailing lists, Dropbox, etc. And eventually we would meet physically to do the more complex parts of the project. And so most of the things we've done initially was really a lot of research because we've never done something like this before. So starting with the main problems of a project like this, the first one, which isn't really a problem, actually it's why all of this works, is atmospheric pressure. The pressure is what makes the balloon inflate and explode when it reaches its maximum altitude. The problem with this is that not only the balloon inflates, but other components can inflate as well. And the most problematic of those components are the batteries. If they inflate, they can explode. So you need to be really careful with the electronic components and the batteries that you choose for your project because they can behave in bad ways due to the very low pressure that you will have at the highest altitudes. The other problem is temperature. you'll get very, very low temperatures, especially when you get to the 10,000 meters. I don't know how many feet is this. But just to give you an idea, you'll get temperatures like minus 50 degrees Celsius. That's minus 58 degrees Fahrenheit, which is very low. Most consumer electronics will stop working at minus 20 degrees. So you need to be really careful and find ways for the temperature inside the payload box to be kept under acceptable temperatures. Otherwise, you'll have problems with the computers. The other problem is the weight. We're not sending a NASA satellite to space, so we have... We're very constrained with the weight that we can send. The weight, the weight that you can put in the payload box is related to the balloon that you will choose for your project. In our case, we were limited to 1,000 grams, so we had to do a lot of decisions when it takes to the materials that we would use. The batteries and other usually heavy components for projects like this. As I mentioned, the batteries are one of the biggest issues, not only because of the pressure, but also because of the performance. Most commercial consumer batteries will heavily degrade their performance under low temperatures and low pressure. And it's really, really difficult to find a battery that will keep up with its maximum performance and at the same time not being at the risk to explode. So we've done the research for you. The best batteries that you can find on the market are these Energizer L91 batteries. They're very expensive. They're lithium batteries, which is good for low pressures, and their specs are really great, and they keep about 90% performance under extreme conditions, including very low temperatures and very low pressures. So they're really, really good batteries, and it's one of our advices for you. The radios we've used for communications with the payloads were ZigBee Pros on legal frequencies. That's 168 megahertz in Europe. I think the frequency in the US is slightly different. But we've done everything legally. And with these radios, we've also used the high-gain antennas, Yagi antennas. And with the combination of the ZigBee Pros and the high-gain antennas that we've used, we've had this antenna custom-made for us. We could reach this distance of about 90 kilometers, which is really great for a system like this. And it's very cheap, and it's very easy to operate because the ZigBee does a really great job abstracting the most complex parts of the radio communications for you. Because we don't trust electronics under extreme conditions, we thought it would be a good idea to develop a fail-safe module. So besides the main computer, we have this autonomous fail-safe module under on the payload box as well. And what this fail-safe module is a small Arduino with a GSM modem and a GPS chip on it. And it operates by itself. And what it does is when it reaches an acceptable altitude at which it can connect to a public GSM network, it starts sending SMSs to our cell phones with the GPS coordinates. So in case everything else fails, you have this small computer sending you GPS coordinates to your cell phones, and eventually you can find your payload box when it crashes. And this fail-safe model was responsible for saving our first flight. We had a problem with the main computer, and we had no communications during the whole flight. But when it fell on the ground, the fail-safe model sent us an SMS at the last minute before it hit the ground, and we were able to save the flight. So the other key component is helium. helium is responsible for lifting the balloon. You could use hydrogen as well, but it's really dangerous. So
next time,
please don't do it. It can explode. Helium is becoming a very rare gas in the world, as you know. So it's becoming a bit expensive. I don't know if it's easy to find in the U.S. at cheap prices, but in Portugal it's very difficult. Our trick was to meet Delphine, who's a scuba diving guy, and so the scuba diving club was our helium dealer for the whole project. They got us really cheap helium, which was great. Balloons. They're not so easy to find for common people. We found this online store in the U.S. Called KMO. I can give you the URL later if you're interested. And they sell these KMO balloons, which are latex balloons. They're used by the meteorologists. And you have all sorts of balloons, and you need to look at the specs of the balloon that you will be choosing for your project. So the specs are related with the weight that it can carry and the altitude that it reaches. In our case, we used the 1,500 grams balloon, which was able to get about 1 kilogram of weight, and it reaches about 100,000 feet in altitude, which is great. And later we found a store in the UK as well that is able to sell the balloons online. So I'm now going to move to the payload box, which we have on stage, and Afonso is going to explain the process of doing a great payload box. Afonso.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. So I'm going to speak a little bit about the payloads, how we made it and how we made it this way. For the payloads, the material, payload is not really important. The configuration, the sizes, you have to respect the weight and the insulation for the electronic maintain all the operability during the flights. So what we saw in other projects, they use styrofoam, wall mates, and all that kind of materials, very dense materials. In our case, we use polyurethane. It's a very good material, easy to work with. And then for the construction, instead of only glue the tiles together to make a box and then use the last tile for the cover, we use a really good and known woodworking process called joints that make a really strong structure. So we made a box, a consistent box, and then cut it half when the glue sets, cut it in half, and we have the two parts that perfectly fit each other. So joints. The joints is really easy. We only have to use a flute bit with a router. In our case, we use a router for make the set really perfect. And then it's only make a groove one size and the dongle in the other to set together like a drawer in woodworking. So we have a very good structure to work with. But this is not enough, because the polyurethane is a material that is very, very sensible to sunlight, solar radiation, and to sea water. We have the problem in Portugal that, because the country is small, the payload could land in the sea, and the seawater will destroy it completely. So we think how we can do it better. And the boats use fiberglass and this kind of material. We use it here. So the fiberglass is really easy to do. It's only a resin in the liquid state that works with a catalyzer, join everything together, and then it will set. We paint fiberglass clothing, tissue, fiberglass. So we paint it, let it set. This the paint cure, get a very strong structure. Then trim the excess for the cutter, the router cutter, done stuck with the fiberglass. And in the exterior, the same thing. After we paint all the tiles in the interior of the payloads, it's more easy to the electronic to get to the plurite and don't fall apart inside the box. So we made the tiles, we paint all the tiles inside, made the groove, set it together, glue it, cut it in half, and then we paint the exterior with the same resin process. And we wrap it, everything with thermal blankets. So the thermal blanket that is here, okay. This is very important because the temperature inside, as we said, we have minus 50 degrees. So the thermal blanket is used in emergencies to keep the warm, the corporal warm, the personal heating. In the box is the same principle. We use the heat generated by the camera and the batteries, and this thermal blanket will keep it inside the box. So we'll compensate the heat outside. So we don't need resistors or anything to create heat inside the box. Works very well with our sensors. We get a very good measurements and stability in all the flights. The same happens outside. In outside, it will reflect the solar light, the solar radiation, because in the best case, okay, we could find the box in the same day, but we must think that it can land in the sea and get to everywhere. And this keep the safe the box until it been recovered. So, Celso?
Well, okay, thanks, Afonso. So the other key component is a parachute. You don't want your payload box to make a free fall on top of someone's head or someone's car. And also you don't want to damage the payload as well. So the parachute helps the fall to become slower. We bought our parachutes. It's the one we have here on stage from a U.S. online store called The Rocket Man. This parachute is really good, and it's appropriate for space balloons projects, and they're really cheap. The cameras is also one of the key decisions you'll have to make if you want to send an app to space. We did a lot of research on cameras, and we settled for a Nixus 100 Canon camera. And the reason we picked this camera is because it allows us to reflash the official firmware with an open source firmware called Canon Hack Development Kit, CHDK. And what this firmware allows you to do is to control programmatically all the key aspects of the camera. So you can do a script. In our case, we've done a SpaceBit script, a program, which we've put on the camera. And it was a loop taking static photos and movies at the same time. So we had footage, a lot of footage, including static photos, but also movies with the same camera using a special script after we reflashed the camera with this special firmware. On later flights, we also experimented with the GoPro camera. They're really popular these days. They're not so... you can't control the camera, a GoPro camera, as you can do with the CHDK Canon camera. So you can also choose to take photos or take movies. But it's also a great camera because it's very robust. It's done for extreme sports. It has a lot of accessories. So it's also a great choice for you. Now, going for the electronics... we've done an Arduino-based design. Basically, it's an Arduino Mega doing the central computing, and then a bunch of sensors and radios on top of it. So it's a really simple design. We've done a lot of testing before. We've done prototypes, more prototypes, and eventually we've gone all professional and done our own PCB. And it's great. We have the schematics online if you want to use them. We've got all sorts of sensors, temperature, pressure, etc., etc. The GPS chips, it's also a very important decision. I don't know if you know this, but most GPS chips have a legal limitation actually imposed by the U.S. government a few years ago. And they automatically shut down after a certain altitude. The reason for this, I read, is because they don't want you to do missile-like applications using GPS chips. So you must find a chip that you can reprogram or reflash. We have a list of those chips, so if you want them, we can give it to you later or talk about it in the Q&A. The other important bit of the project is the contact sheet. This is really important. We've lost our second flight fall on the sea, and we lost it completely.
You can talk about that.
But we were able to recover it because of the contact sheet. I will talk about this later. Laws. Laws are really important. You don't want to get arrested. A lot of these projects, there are a lot of projects that don't pay too many attention to laws and they just launch the balloon. In our case, we wanted to do everything legally. So we went to the Portuguese regulator, that's the INAC, Portuguese Civil Aviation Regulator, and we explained them the project to them. They've never done anything like this in Portugal at the time. They were really nice, and it turns out that the aviation regulations have a specific section for these kind of projects. They're called unmanned balloon projects, and as long as you keep the project under the right density of materials, size, and weight, you're allowed to launch these things to near space. We've done some research on the U.S. laws, and from what we've read, you must get in touch with the U.S. Federal Aviation Regulations, and you must fill up a form and in advance, like 6 days before, and they'll give you an okay, and then you can launch the balloon as well. Helium calculations, very important. If you put too much helium in the balloon, it will ascend too quickly and will explode too early, and it won't reach its maximum altitude. And on the other hand, if you put too few helium in the balloon, it will ascend too slowly, and eventually it will become vulnerable to the winds, and it will get out of control, and it can fall on the sea, like what happened to us on the second flight. So you must calculate the right amount of helium for the balloon. We've done this helium calculator. It's on our website as well. If you want to use it, you just need to type in the balloon characteristics, and it will tell you how much helium you need to fill up in the balloon. So this is our final launch date checklist for those of you who are interested in launching a balloon. First advice is test everything. I'm going to mention this more than once. It's really important. Second advice, and this is the kind of advice your father will give you, have a good night's sleep. But we never done this ourselves. I think we slept 2 or 3 hours in all of our flights, top.
It's very difficult to get the box back. You can take a day walking, searching for the box.
So you need a lot of energy on the launch day, because you can take all day looking for the payload box. And if you do it in the summer, when it's very hot, it's really a challenge, physically speaking. So get a good night's sleep. Make a full equipment checklist for the day before. You can completely ruin the launch if you forget one key component.
Like us, with the alien.
When you're at the spot. If you forget the batteries, or like us, if you forget
the connector for the
helium bottle.
Yeah. Duct tape for the rescue.
Duct tape works most of the times, but it's not fun. Also, don't make structural changes at the last minute. If you're a geek, you will feel tempted to do so, like we've done in our first flight. But our advice is don't do it. Test it before. Don't touch anything on the launch day. Test everything again. Simulate a real flight. I'm going to talk about this later. Take plenty of water with you. This is an advice from experience. If you're going to launch the balloon in the summer during hot temperatures, having no water is no fun at all. Make sure your car gas tank is full. It's really not a good idea to be looking for a gas station when tracking the balloon in nowhere in the middle of the desert. Also, buy an AC inverter for your car. Most of the devices you'll be using to track the balloon are battery operated, and being on the car hunting the balloon and having no laptop battery or cell phone battery is really bad. So just buy a cheap AC inverter for your car, and you're done. Also, don't take the helium bottle on the ride with you when tracking the balloon. Helium bottles are very big, very dangerous.
It's like having a dead cow inside the car.
So tracking the balloon under rough conditions at high speed with helium bottles jumping all over the car, it's too radical for us. Again, test and plan everything, and don't underestimate the small details. Okay, about planning. You should check the winds and meteo conditions a few days before. You can read about the winds condition on this website. It's the same data that the commercial aviation pilots use. It's available for the public, and you can see the winds conditions in 2 days advance. So if it's going to be too windy on the launch day, maybe you should delay the flight, because winds are one of the biggest problems when launching a balloon. Also look for the weather conditions. If it's going to be raining, as you may have heard, latex and water don't match together. So make sure it's sunny, or at least it's not raining. Otherwise, don't launch the balloon. Also, there's a crash predictor online that you can use.
Very good.
And it's a very good software. The URL is on the slide. What this simulator does is you introduce the specs of the balloon, the coordinates of the launch, and other technical aspects, and it will gather the data from the winds forecasts of the website that I mentioned, and we will do all the calculations needed and simulate where the balloon will crash.
Yeah. We do it the night before, and the prediction was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So as you see, this was the prediction for one of our flights, and this was the real thing, and it's really, really accurate. And it's great, because if everything else fails, all the radios, everything else fails, you can still take 1 week looking for your balloon using the simulation. If you don't do this, chances are that you will fail miserable, like we've done on our second flight. So this is a group of four idiots. Catching a balloon that wouldn't ascend because we've miscalculated the helium. And on the second take, we've also miscalculated the helium quantities. And the balloon was ascended too slowly, became vulnerable to the winds, and it landed on the sea. And we lost the balloon.
5 days on the sea.
And for 5 days, we thought we've lost everything. But eventually, a guy in Spain, the country next to Portugal, was walking on the beach, and he saw our payload on the beach. And because we had the contact sheet on it, he called us and returned us everything, which was great. So one of the fun things we've done in Portugal is we've built this community of people around the project. And because we work for an internet company and we're used to web projects, we've done this pretty dashboard that you can watch online. So if you're at home or with us on the hunt, you can use this dashboard to see in real time where the balloon is. So what we're doing is we're receiving the data from the radios to our ground station and transmitting that data to the web, to the internet, and everyone can see in real time what's happening to the balloon. Okay? So this is an interactive map, and you can see the balloon moving, and you can see the altitude and the other sensors values on the website in real time. And because we're nerds and geeks, I've also developed an API. If you're a developer, you can use our API and build your mobile application with it. Actually, a guy did a ground station for an Android phone using the API. And also we use Twitter and all sorts of social networking tools to work with the project. So I'm going to now show you a small clip, a five-minute clip. It's a montage of several of our flights, just to give you an idea of what it feels to launch a balloon like this one. So let's watch the video. I don't know if we have sound. Okay. So on this particular event, we've launched three balloons in the same day, and we gathered about 50 people with us. It was really fun. I don't think it has been done before, launching three balloons at the same time on the same day by the same team. And we were able to recover all of the three balloons on the same day. These are the radios that we used.
The balloon.
You gotta be careful with when handling the balloon, otherwise it can damage. This is a false weighting the
waiting everything.
Weighting everything. This is needed to calculate the amount of helium.
Here we go.
So this is the same box that we have here today. And we've reused this box for several flights. It's a really...
This one is the test one, but it's the same as the box we use. We have different box for balloons, because in this case we launch a balloon with a camera in the bottom, another in the top, to get the balloon exploding in the space that we can see in this video. Another box with two cameras in stereo to see the image in 3D. And another one with lateral camera and one in the bottom.
Okay, this is the fun part. The balloons are launched and then you go hunt for them. So all of these cars were equipped with 3G internet, cell phones, and all of the teams were able to see in real time the coordinates of each one of the three balloons. And it's really fun hunting for balloons. We had to trespass a lot of private property, but it's fun.
For the stabilization of the image, that is something that in our project we saw that is different for the other ones. The stability of the camera is very difficult in the air because we have a lot of movement of the balloon. The payload will compensate the rotation of the balloon. So we create these straps in nylon. And an idea you must think about it to use is this kind of elastic. The weight of the box with the balloon.
This is an image from our last flight where we used the GoPro camera.
Very stable here.
Because it has an eye fish lens, you can get really great footage with this kind of camera.
39 kilometers, right, in this one?
Yeah, this is our record right now. It's a 2,000 grams balloon, and we were able to reach about 38 kilometers. That's, I don't know, 100 and something thousand feet.
It is going down, free falling. The parachutes, you can hear the parachutes try to work, because the parachute opens by itself when the wind gets in. Here's the parachute working. Trespassing private property.
Yeah.
Not good.
We had to run away from bulls and other wild animals.
Here's falling.
This is our last flight, falling on the ground. Yeah.
Safe landing.
We took a while to find this one.
When we'll receive the coordinates in by SMS.
So right now we have 6 flights and we have 100% success rate, which is impressive because none of the flights were perfect. We had problems with all of the flights. Radio problems, stability problems.
Stability problems. Like a switch in the motherboard that switch itself when closing the box. We switch off the motherboard and we don't test the radio.
Okay, moving on. So what's the total cost of doing a project like this? You can do it for, this is in euros, that's about 2,000 US dollars. You can do it for a lot less. This is an estimate on what you'll spend if you don't have any materials, any components, and it includes unexpected costs. But you can do it for a lot less. And you can reuse this for future flights as well. And the total amount of fun units is priceless, as you can imagine. So what's next? For the SpaceFit 7 location, we're thinking about launching the next balloon from an island in Portugal called Azores. I don't know if you heard of it. On the São Miguel Island. We really want to, for the payload to crash on the sea.
Yeah.
So we're doing some changes on the electronics. We'll be using a spot device. It's a GPS tracking device that uses satellite communications. So you will not rely on GSM networks because you'll have no GSM coverage on the sea. And we're planning everything with the sea fishers and everything else. And we really want the payload to fall on the sea and go hunt for him using boats. So this is our next project. We were looking at kayak yesterday, and there's really cheap flights from Austin to Azores. So if you want to join us, you're more than welcome to do. So I'm now going to ask Philip to join us. We're done with the presentation, and we're now open to questions if you have any.
About the box? We have this box. This is our testing box. Okay. Yeah, can you play?
So, any questions?
So, how long will it take after you launch it for it to go all the way up and then fall back down?
Okay, so it depends on the balloon that you choose. And with the balloons that we used, the 1,500 grams balloons, it takes about 2.5 hours for the whole flight. It takes about 1 hour and a half to go up, and then about less than an hour to crash. But then you have the additional time to find the payload, and that can take all day.
Or weeks.
Or weeks.
Yeah. I've seen lots of setups that use kind of tubular frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Philip, you want to take this one?
No?
Pass.
Okay, about that, there are setups that use a tail to avoid the rotation of the balloon. There's a lot of technology for doing this. It's the twisters. They use twisters also for that. But sometimes that is works as a tail, and then used to put something to film in the space also. But we done that test without a lot of testing with the box, crashing in the swimming pool, let it go to the sea to see what happens, and the box. We do it a lot, and the tail was also tested by us. And it's not the tail sometimes with the wind when in the ups, because it is pushed by the balloon. The wind acts to cause a lot of resistance in the air, and will rotate more than without anything. So what? The characteristics of our box is be the most symmetrical possible. So in any position the box it is, the resistance is the same. So for the size of the box, our calculations based on, we take the weight of everything, all the electronics, batteries, camera, parachutes, straps, everything, subtract everything to the maximum lift force of the balloon, how many grams the balloon can lift, and then we work with that value. So we try to use the maximum capabilities of the balloon instead of make the box the most lightweight possible. We try to make the box stable. So more weight, more stable the box is. So the tail, I think, is not necessary for the project.
Yeah, but you can do a lot of experimentation with this.
Of course, Filming the teddy bear is funny also. You can do it, of course.
It's a balance between, you know, science and fun.
And fun.
So you can do whatever you want. But as you can see, our footage is very stable. We've got perfect photos and perfect films. And that's also important.
To be honest, the thing my daughter's particularly happy about, my son and I sending one of their teddy bears into space.
Yeah.
Very good. It's awesome. Yes.
Okay.
More questions?
I have a question. We've been sending weather balloons up for like a long time, right? So do you do any research into what instrument packages were already maybe available to accompany what you were sending up and what they're spec for?
Philip, you want to talk about this?
Yeah.
As podes usar o mic?
Podes usar.
Então.
Yeah. No. Hey, can we have sound in this one?
Okay.
Audio in this one?
Working?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, for instrumental electronics, you already have a lot of hardware available. Most of our hardware comes from Sparkfun. They develop a lot of sensors that you can use without creating PCBs. And it is quite easy because you avoid to work with SMD components. None of us had the experience before soldering and developing PCB boards. So our main computer is a little bit crappy. You know, the design is not so perfect, but it was done in one day.
One day.
So it's quite fast.
Experimentation.
But if you want to look in the internet, I think Sparkfun has developed hardware for balloons, so you can already find a main computer, some sensors like barometric pressure, compass, GPS connector, and a data logger. So all you need to do is to create your own code, or you can reuse anyone code because it's based on Arduino design, so it's quite easy to program. And if you want to add some extra sensors, you don't need to put so much sensors there. Actually, I think we in the beginning, we tried to put as many sensors as possible because it's nice to have data, right? But in the end, it's not worth it. The main problem here is to get the location, get real-time data communication, and get a fail-safe model in case we have a problem with the computer. Actually, in the first flight, I had a light sensor. And the light sensor just crashed the computer because I was testing and making calibration at night, and night light is not the same than sunlight. And when he tried to launch the box on the first day, The computer crashed because I was receiving too much data from light sensor. But I was not able to detect that, and we had to fly it in the dark, you know. So it was a crazy decision, but we had a fail-safe model to work with. So in the end, the most important thing is the GPS coordinate and the radio link. And in the radio, it was a little bit difficult in the beginning. We found a lot of radio models, but most of them were expensive and heavy. And then I found the Digi models. Digi also sells these radios on the 900 megahertz frequency, so it's the same frequency in the US, which is a legal frequency there. But luckily for us, the radio in Europe has a higher power range, and we can achieve up to 90 kilometers distance. And we test this. It's not on the data sheet. We really test the data rate, the distance, and it was amazing. So this is the main problem, is just find a good GPS device, find a good radio. Everything else is an extra, you know.
Yeah. But we have the scheme of the boards, yeah. Everything online, so you can get it and build your own motherboard like us and at home. We use a process, a Turner transfer process for mate or motherboard, so it's really easy for everyone getting the data sheet and everything and build their own motherboard.
And if you want, there were some teams that already did this with iPhone, Android devices, because they rely on GSM networks. So most of the time, the balloon went in the dark, and then it gets down. You get a network connection, and then you send SMS. But for us, the interesting part was to get real data communication. You know, it's a different feeling. You know where the balloon goes, and you feel that you are confident in having success.
There is another thing about the motherboards, about the batteries. We use a lot of batteries, so much energy that we stayed for 2 days with the computer on, but was after the trip we made with the box, and 2 days with all the electronics online. So that radio is fantastic because drained almost nothing power with 19 kilometers is fantastic. And the antenna is the Yagi antenna is very good also because you don't have to the position of the antenna don't have to be precisely to the balloon. You can have the antenna in maybe 19 degrees from the balloon and is still getting data from the balloon. So, because in the internet we saw a lot of systems with servos and everything trying to make the position of the antenna very precisely to the balloon. And in our testing and in a flight, very long flight, we don't need nothing. You just put the hand outside the window in the car running and just... Yeah. Searching, okay, it's in here, and maintain that position. If you turn, you turn the hand, and works perfectly. So you don't have to make any kind of...
It's a really good radio setup.
It's very good.
Yeah. I really recommend these radios.
About the box.
More questions?
There's more questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So how often do you launch, and is it time or money that keeps you from launching more often?
Mostly time.
Yeah.
Time. Because now we're reusing the materials that we have from other flights. But also we keep asking for sponsorship, which is, it's not really expensive and we can do a lot of fun with the brand or anyone who's willing to sponsor our project. But we've been launching flights from, 6 to 6 months, more or less. And we don't do it often because of time limitations, because we all work. But we're planning to do this launch on early June in Azores, and we think it's going to be.
And in every flight you have something new, so it's fantastic. Anyone can think it's always the same launching a balloon. You have the same pictures. No. We got one day, a clear day, no cloud at all. We could see almost Galicia, in Portugal, almost all Portugal, we have beautiful pictures. Other than that, we have clouds, and it's very, very nice because you see the shadow of the clouds in the country. It's beautiful. And we get also very strange, you can talk about it, the sand.
The sandstorm.
Sandstorm.
Yeah, we caught a sandstorm in one of our flights.
Fantastic.
So,
it's something that is not useful to see.
You couldn't see the country from below.
You see always sand.
But you could see the sandstorm.
Basically, we got a sandstorm from the north of Africa, and it moves to south of Portugal and Spain.
We see everything.
And you could see the same clouds and the shadow of the clouds
projected on the
sandstorm. Yeah. So it was really amazing. But the worst part, the pictures were not so great, you know. Yeah. It has a lot
but
of
it's very nice because it was talk in the TV. They talk about because everyone has the car, old cars in the country was with a lot of sand, and everyone, what is this? Why is this happening? And it was in the time we sent the balloon, and so we could explain everyone why this is happening. And if you say a cloud with sand coming from Africa, that's impossible. But these pictures, we guarantee that what is happening was very, very, very nice. So it's a lot of experimentation. You can send teddy bears as you can send whatever you want because it's really fun to see what's happening there. Maybe send a marshmallow and see the characteristics of marshmallow inflating and then deflating, how it takes when it lands. Yeah, it's very, 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 very funny. And as Celso says, because that's why we works a lot with this structure and testing of the box, because the reusability of the box is good, because in all the launches, you know that all the variation of the project is only for the environment's changes. It's not for the box. So you guarantee that this box works and will get you back your payload with everything inside intact, because you send a phone, an iPhone is very expensive, but with the box, a good box is well tested. You know that the iPhone will come back in entirely, so the risk is less. So, one question.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about launching at night?
Yes.
Lots of times.
It's
well,
planned.
But it's the first thing, the recovery. You know, you can only recover next day because you're not going to walk in the bushes at night. So it's difficult. Maybe at sunrise. Sunrise will be a good idea. Launching
no,
a few hours
at
night sunrise
must be done.
Yeah.
the reward for the capture of the balloon or recovery, the reward is 100 euros. So it's good to be us to find the box. So, but night is yeah, we want to see Portugal at night. Because
also, you got to get the right cameras to take
the right
movies at night.
That's a main challenge because we have to calibrate cameras and try to find a good setup in the cameras.
By the way, with the firmware, the hackable firmware for the Canon, you can overwrite everything in the camera. So the sposturing control and everything. So for the night, it's very good to use one of these because the camera will adjust in real time. And if you can block that feature and open all the exposure of the camera, maybe at night you can get good pictures. Fireworks, for example, maybe our idea was to launch one in New Year.
Yeah.
And see the fireworks blowing. There is a lot of possibility. A
lot of ideas.
A lot of ideas. Sorry, yeah.
Have you decided which camera you're flying in the
room? Yeah, we found these really small cameras. I don't remember the name. But it's a common ship that a lot of cameras are using. And they're really tiny. They're really weightless.
HD.
And they're really cheap, and they can do 720p video. And we're thinking about using some of those. And because they're so small and so cheap, we can have several of them on the same payload box. So we're thinking about having one pointing down, one pointing to the horizon, and one pointing up as well. So we're experimenting with that. But if you want, if you don't want to have any troubles with cameras, I would suggest a GoPro. Because you just need to attach the camera to the payload box, turn it on, choose movies or pictures, and it's done.
Yeah, and there is one important thing with GoPro. Don't forget to dehydrate the fixer. Yeah. Because the GoPro has a plastic case. You can use it because it's waterproof. But we...
The temperatures will fear condensation.
We forgot to put the dehumidifier inside one day before. So when you get low temperatures, the humidity condensates on the lens, and we get some blur because of this.
Yeah.
So if you use a case, you must put some dehumidifier one day before and close and seal the case. So it's a little bit tricky. Okay. Just the important part.
Yeah. More questions?
Yeah. How do you guys
Very good question.
Okay, I'm going to give the simple question. Well, first of all,
answer if you want.
First of all, we were assured that it's the kind of materials that we use on our project are not dangerous at all for aircraft engines. Second of all, the regulator, the aviation regulator, is warned on the spot, date, time, and hour of your launch. So they're able, if they want to, they're able to issue a warning to the airspace, and the planes will know that something is happening at that spot at that time. Also, they won't allow you to send a balloon from a dense city where there's an airport nearby. So you must launch the balloon on a desert area or something like that. We caught some planes on movie and pictures in one of our flights, but they were really far, far away. But it's no danger at all, they told us.
And there's an important question here, because the balloon will quickly ascend to 10,000 meters on the first half an hour, so it's quite fast, and it will avoid a lot of planes. So if the air control warns the planes, you have plenty of time to avoid the balloon.
We have three times higher than the maximum altitude for a commercial flight, so it's really fast, the ascension to the danger zone of the flight, because flights is only running that altitude. So it's so fast that maybe probability is really, really low.
But I saw some footage of some people launching balloons in US, and there was a guy launching near airport. So for me, it's quite weird.
Okay.
We have
more questions? No?
Yep.
So is anyone in the room thinking about launching a balloon? So the first guy who raises his hand will get the chance to take our payload box with him.
Okay.
You get a winner.
So
you get the box.
Yeah, you get the box. This is our this box will work guaranteed because it's our testing box. This was in a swimming pool, foreign buildings and everything, and it's intact. So you can use it. The support is for this camera in particular. You can do the same thing for the camera you will use. Okay, the lens may be not the same, but if you find a camera like this, it works everything. The straps is very easy to use. Just close and traps and in the parachute.
Okay, thank you very much.